Gracious Father, as we turn to your word now, we ask that you would fill us with joy and wonder as we recount details of the Christmas story. Amen. Christmas is coming, as everyone knows, with lights and music and holiday shows. Thanksgiving was early, so now we've had more weeks upon weeks to go to the store. But don't be deceived by the warmth and the date. You better shop now, or you might be late. The lights have been lit, the music is blaring, look all around, and some have stopped caring. Advent is mentioned in hardly a store, because if you've no presents, Christmas is a bore. Over the years, as we've finished November, people have various views on December. Choose Christmas or Kwanzaa or Hanukkah lore. Whatever you choose, just get to the store. Santa and Rudolph and even the Grinch create in many the need to flinch. The season is fraught with emotions abounding, but that's been the case since its very founding. Back in the year that Jesus was born, they treated him with both joy and with scorn. Some just ignored the arrival, it's true. So what we see now is nothing new. That's what we see in the book of Matthew. We'll start and we'll read from chapter 2. Matthew, chapter 2. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born the king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word, that I too may come and worship him." After listening to the king, they went their way, and behold, the star that had been seen when it arose before them went until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. This is the word of the Lord. When we read Christmas passages, sometimes it gets sort of redundant. We've heard it before. We wonder what a pastor can say that we haven't already seen ourselves. And I take comfort in the fact that when Peter writes, he says that his job is to stir you up by way of reminder. And so if you find something new in this message, that's okay, but mostly I want to remind you of what the Scripture has already told you and what you could discover in there for yourself if you had decided, I have to preach a three-point message from this text. And in this text, we see three distinct responses or attitudes toward the birth of Christ, which are also evident today in our celebration of Christmas. It is pretty hard not to notice that something is supposed to have happened on December 25th. And even though some bemoan the fact that many have chosen not to use the word Christmas, they say happy holidays rather than Merry Christmas. They say that in an attempt not to offend. You have to have your head pretty deep into the sand not to know that winter break is always around Christmas, because it's really Christmas break. It is about Christmas, the day that believers in Christ celebrate as his birthday. Now, we are pretty sure he probably wasn't born on December 25th, but we chose that day to celebrate his birthday. It's okay that it's not his actual birthday. We set aside this day to celebrate that he was born. And if some other groups had celebrated this day for other reasons, that's okay too. We just chose that some point in history, God chose to dwell among men, came as a child, and we decided to celebrate it on December 25th. But even on that first momentous day when a child was born who was called Jesus, people had conflicting attitudes about his arrival. The reality is that it has always been true that some people just don't care about Christmas. Our text tells us that these wise men came into Jerusalem, and King Herod and all of Jerusalem was troubled. These group of wise men had traveled to their city. It was as though a long train of black limousines with a bunch of Cadillac SUVs with lights flying and flags on them had arrived in town. And even a town the size of Grand Junction, we would notice as they shut down the roads and these large group comes in. In their day, a caravan of camels comes into town and draws everyone's attention. And these wise men say, "Where is he who is born the King of the Jews?" Now this is front page news, because the queen didn't know she was pregnant. And the king didn't want her to know about somebody else. Well, maybe not. They didn't think there was going to be a king that was born. So the king assembled the people in the know. The scribes, the Pharisees, the chief priests. They gathered together to study the problem. They pulled out the scrolls, although they probably knew the scriptures. The King of the Jews, they were told, was to be born in Bethlehem. Bethlehem, a little hamlet about 5 miles from where they were. It's as though the Son of God was born in Whitewater. It would not take us long to get there. And yet, people just didn't care. Notably missing from this account is any mention of the priests, the scribes, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, or anyone other than the wise men taking the 5-mile trip to see the newborn king. That's amazing. Okay, there's a new star. There's a new king. Let's eat some turkey. These magi came into town. They ask a very pointed question. Where is he who is born the King of the Jews? And the religious leaders, the ones who you would think would be most interested in this, don't care enough to find out if the scripture was correct. Apathy reigned supreme in the hearts and minds of the chief priests and the scribes. And apathy often reigns supreme in the minds of people today who know there's something about this Christmas story. They've seen the manger scenes and they might think it's kind of quaint and old-fashioned. But they don't think about Christmas. They don't care that Christ has come. It seems unimportant to them that God has come in the flesh. Apathy reigns supreme. Many people today know the truth. They understand the basic historical facts, but the truth has not set them free because their knowledge of the truth is a superficial knowledge which just says, yeah, sometime around the year zero, Jesus was born. They know all the facts, but they fail to be touched by the reality of the facts. Sometimes it's fun to watch a football game with someone who doesn't understand the game. A young woman was attending her first football game. She listened patiently while her husband explained what was going on. When he jumped to his feet and acted like a maniac, she asked, "What on earth is the matter?" And he said, "Didn't you see that catch?" She said, "Of course I saw. But I thought that's what he was out there for." She had a superficial knowledge of the game, but failed to understand the dynamics of it. The chief priests and the scribes, along with much of America today, failed to see the beauty of the fulfillment of Scripture which happened in Bethlehem. They just don't care. They heard that a child was born, but they just didn't matter to them. It wasn't important. Ultimately, many in our world today have a superficial understanding of Christmas. They don't understand it's supposed to remind them of the birth of Christ. And yeah, they think maybe that's just a story in some old book that people keep on reading for some bizarre reason. It's of no concern to them. Instead, Christmas is an excuse to give and receive gifts, to have an extra day off of work, unless you work for a retailer or a restaurant. It's just overtime. A reason to show off your love for someone that you have gotten too many gifts for over the years anyway. Giving him more stuff in the hopes of fulfilling the empty void of a life without God. For many people, Christmas just doesn't matter. Others hear about the birth of the king of the Jews, and they respond with hostility. This is the response of Herod. Herod was not anybody's best friend. He was, by virtually all records, a twisted individual who had some incredible accomplishments, but at the core of his being was an incredibly evil king, where he, on the one hand, was able to produce many good things for Israel. He was an insecure, mean-spirited tyrant. When he heard that there was born a king of the Jews, Herod became very nervous. Herod had his favorite wife. I think that's kind of funny, you know. I have a favorite wife also. It is my only wife. Herod wasn't quite as smart as I am. He had more than one wife. And he had a favorite wife. And he had her murdered. I mean, that is just really odd to me. You're my favorite wife. I'm going to slit your throat. Actually, he didn't do it himself. He had someone else do it. Some favorite, huh? Now, each of you men, I wish you would turn to your wife and say, "You're my favorite wife." Hopefully you'll say, "You're my only wife," and I'm not going to do what Herod did. You know, along with his favorite wife, Herod had two sons that he murdered. What they did is a little unclear, but Herod thought that they were seeking to take over his throne. Some father, huh? Really, you want to be king when I'm gone? Whoa, that must mean you're trying to make me be gone now. So they're dead. Herod arranged to have scores of Israelite leaders murdered on the day of his death in order to prevent them from having his throne and so that people were mourning on the day of his death. That is a twisted individual. You're not going to be sad when I die, so I'm going to have one of your loved ones die so that on that day, for whatever reason, you're sad. When the Magi came to him, he's more than just a little troubled. He's hostile. This isn't just the birth of any child. This isn't something he could shrug off. This is a threat to his throne, and unlike those who couldn't be bothered about the birth of the king, this was important to Herod. He wanted to know where this new king could be found. He understood Judaism enough to know that there were writings about where the king would be born. So he calls together the religious leaders to ask them, and under the guise of wanting to worship the newborn king, he had them read from the prophet Micah. He said he wanted to worship, but worship was the furthest thing from his mind. His goal was not worship, but hostility. When the Magi leave by another route, Herod becomes enraged. You see this beginning in Matthew chapter 2, verse 16, where it says, Herod, when he saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, became furious, and he sent and killed all the male children in Bethlehem and all in that region who were 2 years old and under, according to the time that he had ascertained from the wise men. Herod was hostile to the whole idea of Christmas. His plan to quietly do away with this upstart of a king failed miserably. And in a mad rush, he orders all the male children 2 years old and younger to be killed. He shows an attitude towards Christmas which still exists today, an attitude of hostility towards Jesus Christ. It may show itself as hostility toward the church, toward Christian leaders, or towards Christians in general, but many still harbor great hostility towards Christ. Unfortunately, that hostility is growing in many places. Now, it's unlikely they're going to go out and murder a bunch of children, but they seek to destroy our children by teaching them that the Word of God is a lie, by undermining the authority of Scripture and taking responsibility of rearing our children away from parents. People are hostile towards Christ and Christianity because it teaches morality, because it teaches that there are things which are right and things which are wrong, because the Bible is not politically correct. It teaches that we gain entrance into heaven not on our own merits, but on the merits of Christ. We live in a society which has grown increasingly secular and become more and more hostile towards Christianity. For secular society believes that morality is fluid, and the Bible teaches that it's not fluid at all. The standards of right and wrong represented by Christ, and most often in the Bible, are to our world outdated and no longer politically correct. So Christianity becomes something which is a lightning rod for hostility. Christians and Christmas represent for many in our society oppression and racism rather than the freedom and inclusiveness which we see in the Bible. So they turn hostile. It has been that way since the very beginning. The priest and the scribes had an attitude of apathy. Herod showed us an attitude of hostility. But fortunately, there's another attitude that we see in the Christmas story. It's an attitude of eagerness and worship. It is interesting that this attitude of eagerness in worship comes from the Magi. Gentiles who saw the light and came to worship Christ. Some suggest that the Magi could have spent up to 2 years preparing for that first Christmas. They come to this by the fact that Herod had the children 2 years and younger murdered. And so the beginning of their seeing of that light was probably 2 years earlier. They may have traveled for a good portion of that. They may have made preparations for it. But they spent a whole lot of time in preparation to worship the newborn king. These were people who were absolutely committed to worshiping Christ. They were willing to travel over long roads to see this child. Committed to worshiping this newborn king. And this is the attitude of Christmas which we ought to have. An attitude of eagerness, of seeking and worship. An eagerness to see this great event of the coming of the Christ child. Of seeking to find him and to know him. When my oldest son was about 6 years old, it was Christmas time, and he came one Sunday in December after church and said, "Dad, I've noticed something." He was a precocious young man. He said, "I've noticed something, Dad. Some people skip church to get ready for Christmas. But we go to church to get ready for Christmas." I think the Magi would have gone to church to get ready for Christmas. Because it's not really about shopping and gift giving. It's about the birth of a child, God incarnate, Emmanuel. The focus is upon this miraculous, loving deed. The Magi were about worshiping he who was the King of the Jews, and at whose name every knee will bow and every tongue confess. And these men came bringing gifts for the Christ child, gifts which we infuse meaning into the gifts. They may have had no sense of the meaning that we've infused into them. Gold and frankincense and myrrh. Gold supposedly representing his royalty, frankincense his deity, and myrrh his passion and burial. I think it's interesting that we infuse that meaning into the gifts, because the likelihood that the Magi were projecting ahead 33 years that this King of the Jews was going to be buried and he's going to have the death of the cross is pretty unlikely. But still, it makes for a nice story, and you could preach a whole sermon just on the meaning of the gifts that God put into that, but not because the Magi were so smart. But they came seeking Christ, eager to pay homage to the one born as a king. It's why we have the celebration of Christmas. Because we want to return to an understanding that the Lord God Almighty came to earth not in a flash of brilliance, wowing everyone with power and chariots of fire, but as a baby to be part of us, to relate to us, so that he can understand us and communicate with us. The Christmas attitude is one of worship. It is the proper and true attitude of Christmas. Each year, we actually have the option of how we will respond to Christmas. We can't ignore it. And there's really nothing wrong with not having a Christmas tree. There's certainly nothing wrong with not increasing your electric bill by blasting the neighborhood with lights. But to treat Christmas with apathy is a mistake. It celebrates the most significant event in history prior to the death and resurrection of Christ. It points us to the reality that we have a Savior. To treat Christmas with apathy is a mistake. We can choose to become hostile. We can just be angry at the secularization of Christmas. We can be angry that it's taken over a full month. We can be angry that the stores don't even mention Christmas anymore, and you can't find any angels at the store. What's wrong with our world? And we can become hostile towards the way the secular world treats Christmas. And I think that's kind of crazy. We can't and shouldn't attempt to control them. We can control our attitude. And we can say Merry Christmas, and we can choose not to be hostile during the Christmas season. We can choose to respond with eagerness. We can choose to worship Christ. Because, you know, it really doesn't matter how others respond to Christmas. What matters in your life is how you respond to Christmas. And your attitude is a choice. I recommend, follow the example of these three wise men. Seek Jesus and worship Him. And have a Merry Christmas. Let's pray. Gracious Father, I thank You that because of an early Thanksgiving, we've been given an extra week to think about and focus on Christmas, that wonderful event when Your Son was born in a manger to begin a journey of a sinless life which would end not at the cross, but with His resurrection and ascension into heaven, where we are confident He sits at the right hand of God Most High as our advocate, the one who intervenes for us, who has purchased our salvation. Thank you for Christmas. Amen. If you want to participate in our Christmas Eve service, please see me or Sharon. We have some slots we'd like to fill. But if you don't want to participate, just want to come and light a candle, that's cool too. Now, may the Lord bless you and keep you. Lord, make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.